Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a young black man, doing all that I can to save. Oh, but when I look around and I see what's being done to my mind, every day I'm being hung.
All right, family. I hope everybody is doing well. I missed you guys. I had some things that I needed to take care of last week, and hopefully we'll be able to get back on track this Tuesday coming up. Okay, we're going to have a very exciting program for you on today. And looks like we have a story, you guys. And this story is blowing my mind, and I do appreciate everybody that joined in. And this story is blowing my mind. It's blowing my mind because I'm looking at two little devils, little demon thugs, a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old. Welcome, everybody. Like and share as you come in. And I had to talk about this show. I had to talk about these two thugs. I had to talk about it today. And I was in the midst of traveling yesterday, so I was, you know, got home a little late. So I said, okay, I'll do my show today. And like I said, I hope and pray that I'm going to be able to get back on track. But, you know, I'm getting ready to get into some busy times because, you know, we're trying to do some things in August, okay? But Blog Talk, I'm going to give you the number just in case you might want to chime in for the ones that want to just listen. And then I did put, I put the link in there. Hold on, let me put the link in there, you guys. Hold on. I'll put the link in if anybody wants to come on and just chat a little bit today. But you know the topic, and I'm telling you, I have never seen anything like this. But Blog Talk, let me give you 999-3682 for anybody that wants to chime in. And welcome, everybody. Like and share as you come in. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. But we're going to talk about these little thugs. I'm telling you, policing in America, okay? Racism in America. You know, if you want to find me on Blog Talk, you go into racism in America. Policing works just fine when you're white, huh? That's my topic for today. Policing works just fine when you're white. You know what? I think back on Tamir Rice, the 12-year-old little boy that died, and he's the same age as my granddaughter, right? And I think about him, and I'm thinking about this little white boy, Travis O'Brien and Nicole, who was 14, Jackson. And I'm telling you, it's just, I have not seen anything like this ever in life. But I'm looking at how they handled it, okay? I'm looking at how they handled Miss Nicole and Travis. And I'm also looking at how they handled Micaiah Bryant. Remember the 15-year-old? Who's a year older than Nicole, okay? And she had a knife, and she was defending herself against two grown women that was coming to her home to attack her. But instead, I see something that happened. Tamir Rice, I think his incident happened like as soon as the police drove up, somebody told them that the gun was fake. And from my understanding, Timothy Lohan, who shot him, shouldn't even been on the force anyway, because he had been fired from another force, and they deemed him incompetent, and they deemed him that he, let me see, I've written it down somewhere, but And he should have never been on the force, you guys, okay? The sad part about it was Timothy Loham, or whatever his name is, got out the car immediately, not even looking, not even asking, just start shooting, pop, pop, pop. But did they do that with these white babies? Did they do that with Nicole and Travis? Same officer with Nikiah, Brian. Officer drives up. She calls for help. She's holding off these two adults until the police come. He gets out the car, and immediately he starts firing. He didn't ask questions. Didn't bother to do, you know, I thought police officers were supposed to come there and investigate, right? He didn't do any of that. He just saw somebody with a knife, and because they're black, they automatically want you to figure out and assume that, oh, they're black, so they have to die. No. Did they do Dylan Roof like that? Did they do the other guy, Aaron Long, I think it was, who shot up the sex brothel in Georgia? Did they get out the car and start shooting him? Did they get out the car and start shooting Kyle Rittenhouse? Kyle Rittenhouse. Okay. So I see that you're handling situations a little different when they're not black. When they're black and they don't have a weapon, or they do have a play gun, like Tamir Rice, he had a play gun in his hand. They got out blazing. Pow, pow, pow. Everybody, you know, couldn't answer questions. You know, I'm scared for my life. But when you're white and you have an AR-47 and you shoot that police, nobody's threatened. Nobody was threatened. This whole story is blowing my mind. Nobody was threatened. But these two thugs, 14 and 12, had guns. Okay? And the owner of the house that they broke into said it was a lot of ammunition there. Over 200 rounds, right? But nobody was threatened. So why are they so threatened when our children, who don't have weapons or have a play gun like Tamir Rice, and I'm going to read a little bit. I want to first start off with a little bit of Tamir Rice's story, and I do appreciate everybody that's tuning in, because you didn't have to, but I appreciate you, okay? But like and share as you come in. I just want to read a little bit about my baby, Tamir Rice. He's 12. Let's just listen. I'm going to read a little bit about Nicole and Travis. Those two thugs too, okay? Who had a shootout. I mean, they thought they was in Wild Wild West. They had a shootout with the police, and they still live. That's amazing when you tell me that when you see my child that doesn't have a gun, or a child that looks like me that don't have a gun, and they can die for having a toy gun. But these two thugs who had guns that were shooting at police, they still got to live. Wow. That's amazing. Let me just read just a little bit about Tamir Rice. On November 22nd, 2014, Tamir Rice, a 12-year-old African-American boy, they called him boy. I want you to listen very careful. I want you to listen at the wording, okay? Who was killed. Now, this baby had a toy gun. But that's okay. Who was killed in Cleveland, Ohio, by Timothy Loman, whatever his name is, who cares what his name is, a 26-year-old white police officer, of course. Rice was carrying a replica toy gun. Okay? Timothy shot him almost immediately after arriving on the scene. Took them at least 35 minutes to shoot at. I don't even think they shot at those kids immediately, because I heard a recording, and the recording was, we want to let them live. We don't want to shoot. Just be careful. Let's give it a little time. That's what the officer said. Now, when they're white, you can give them a little time. But when he's a 12-year-old black boy, we're going to get rid of them. We're not even going to give us any help. But let me just keep reading. Let me read that part again. Loman. Shot him almost immediately after arriving on the scene. Two officers, Loman and 46-year-old Frank Gombach, whatever, were responding to a police dispatch call regarding a male who had a gun. A caller reported that the male was pointing a pistol at random people at the Coldell Recreation Center, a park in the city of Cleveland. Public Works Department. At the beginning of the call, and again in the middle, at the beginning of the call, and again in the middle, he says, of the pistol, probably fake. It's probably fake. If you are a dispatcher, that right there should have been a very important point that you mentioned. The caller said in the beginning of the conversation and in the middle, it's probably fake. So that dispatcher should have mentioned that. And if she didn't, she should have lost her job. But let's go on. Towards the end of a two-minute call, the caller states that he is probably a juvenile, okay? But this information was not relayed to the officers. Why was that very important information left out? That's your job as a dispatcher is to get the vital, important information, right? Now you know that officers, how they are about guns. Wouldn't you have thought that that information, that little bit of information right there was kind of important to let the officers know, hey, he's a juvenile and the gun is probably fake. So just be careful. We're going to make sure the gun's not fake first. Okay, we're not going to go in, shoot him up. Let's, you know, clear it and make sure that the gun's not fake. Because once you take a life, it's gone, right? Tamara will never be back because somebody was careless enough not to even mention that the gun was fake or that he was a juvenile, okay? So the officers, what they're looking for, what, a grown man maybe? But if you go there looking for a grown man and you see a child, then that automatically say, hold on, whoa, hold on, here. Because a 12-year-old boy, looks like a 12-year-old boy and looks like a grown man to me. I don't know any 12-year-olds that look grown to me. I'm just saying. But I'm a grandma and I'm a mom, but I'm just saying, okay? The officers reported that when they arrived at the scene, they both continuously yelled, show me your hands, through the open patrol car window. Loman further stated that instead of showing his hands, it appears, listen to the wording, as if Rice was trying to draw. It appeared. I knew it was a gun, and I knew it was coming out. The officer shot twice, hitting Rice once in the torso, according to Judge Ronald B. Adrien, who should be voted out. I hope you guys got him out. And a lot of times when these judges, DAs, mayors, are not doing their due diligence and they are not doing their jobs as far as bringing up charges, that needs to be their last opportunity to serve the public, because obviously you don't want to serve all of the public. You just want to serve certain people in the public. So if we find one that can't serve all of the people, then that judge needs to be voted out. And they are voted, you know, and we do vote them in and out, right? So they need to be voted out. Okay, according to this judge, Ronald B. Adrien, on the video, the Zoom car containing patrol Officer Loman and Gombeck is still in the process of stopping when Rice is shot. Wait a minute, did I read that right? On the video, the Zoom car containing patrolman Officer Loman and Gombeck is still in the process of stopping when Rice is shot. So that means you didn't get out the car. The car was still rolling. When they drove up, they just pop, 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 pop. Whether they said drop the gun or not, I don't know if I believe that part. But you just started shooting. But you didn't do that last night with those kids. They were shooting at you. Nobody returned fire for a minute. But let me, did Tamir Rice even fire at you? Then you would have known it was a toy. But let's keep reading. Rice died the following day. Rice's gun was found to be an airsoft replica. I don't know what that means. I guess it's a toy gun. How about that? It lacked the orange tipped barrel that would have indicated it was a toy gun. It doesn't matter what it lacked. My thing is, you investigate, just like you did with those white kids. Nobody shot. They had time to investigate. They gave those kids 35 minutes. So what was the rush? When it's a life, you give it all the time that you can. What else are you doing? This is your job. Your job is to investigate. Your job is to de-escalate. Your job is to come there and see what can we do to maybe disarm him before we kill him. Because once we kill him, that's it. But it doesn't seem like that's an issue when they have black children. They don't bother to come there to investigate. Their first thought is we're going to take them out, period. Because that's a lot of times what they've been doing. When I see children, Deontay, okay, remember the young man? He was out of the car. Kim grabbed her so-called taser, which was a real gun, a black gun, but you thought she was grabbing a yellow taser, so now we don't know our color. Okay, but anyway, she grabbed her black gun instead of her yellow taser and shot. Now, you holding the gun in your face. You can see it's not yellow, okay? That right there should say, hold on, I got my gun. Okay, plus you got that one. The left side, your taser's on the left side, your gun's on the right side, right? So if you grab the right side, that means your gun. Left side is your taser, so you knew doggone well you had your taser in your hand, but you can tell us anything because we don't know, because we dumb. We dummies anyway, okay? Black folk dummies anyway. That's what they think. You got something that got a whole lot more sense than you think, honey, okay? Now, Rice's gun was found to be a toy. It lacked an orange-tipped barrel that would have indicated it was a toy gun. A surveillance video of the incident was released by the police 4 days after the shooting on November 26th. On June 3rd, 2015, the Chattahoochee County Sheriff's Office declared that their investigation, okay, had been completed and that they had turned their findings over to the county prosecutor. And I think because we know how prosecutors operate the same way prosecutors have always operated, even with the, remember how they operated with, went off my page, remember how they operated with Breonna Taylor, how what's that boy name? And that's what he is, a boy. Oh, Lord, I lost my page. Hold on. Darren Cameron, okay, when he came in there and he said he didn't present the case right, and the jury ended up saying that he didn't even, how he presented this case was incorrect. But guess what? I think we should start now being able to see how they're presenting those cases. Now that you know that this is how they are presenting the cases, and I believe that all of the cases are being presented like that, and this is why they're telling us no, that they won't bring them up on charges, because it's the way the cases are being presented to the grand jury. I do believe that since we know that, that something needs to be done about that, and we need to be allowed to see how they need to open that courtroom up so that we can be sure that they're presenting it the right way, okay? So even with that prosecutor, I hope that was his last decade or last term in office, okay? The prosecutor came and said that, you know, they weren't going to bring any charges up, okay? Okay, let me find my surveillance video. Okay, hold on. On June 3rd, the sheriff declared that their investigation had been completed and that they had turned their findings over to the county prosecutors. Several months later, the prosecution presented evidence to the grand jury, which declined to indict. Okay, how did he present it, and why would they decline to indict? Okay, primarily on the basis that Rice was drawing what appeared to be an actual firearm from his waist as the police arrived. Okay, that's not a reason for you to fire. That's not a reason for you to kill. That's not a reason. Dylan Roof had a gun in his hand at the same time the police drove up, and he lived. These thugs, the 12 and 14-year-old, was actually shooting at police. And I want black folks to get it out of their minds to say that automatically we deserve to die. They have screwed with our heads so much that we are so used to them not doing anything that we automatically will say, oh, they deserve to die anyway. No, no, no. Stop saying it about your own. Them two deserve to die. That 12 and 14-year-old who was shooting, had a shootout with police, they deserve to die, okay? If you're telling me Tamir Rice deserved to die who had a fake gun, instead of you getting out the car to investigate to see actually what was going on, and if you can talk him down or toss the gun out of his hands the same way you did with those thugs yesterday or the other day, that's what your job is. Your job, being a police officer, does not mean that you come out shooting all the time. No, you don't have, that should be your very last resort. He's 12. You can't get a gun. You can't get a gun from a 12-year-old. Are you serious? You had to kill him? No. They didn't. They could have did the same thing with that 12 and 14-year-old, but they didn't. They want you to believe that every time it's your black baby, that they deserve to die because they want to dehumanize our baby. No. I don't care what he had in his hand. De-escalation is first. You de-escalate. You get up there. You come out the car. You make sure he hear you. Did he hear you? Because if he was running around there playing, he might didn't hear. Maybe did he see the cops pull up? Did he know the cops was talking to him? You could say anything, but if you're not there, maybe he didn't hear them say anything. Maybe he didn't even see them drive up. Maybe he was pulling his little gun out. Maybe he was pointed at somebody for the, you know, they were in the process of playing, right? So the police come up. Did he see him? Did he hear him for real? You could say anything, just like I'll see people, and they'll say I'm looking at them, and I'll be looking, not even thinking about them. And they may speak, and I don't speak back. People get mad and say, girl, you saw me speak. You didn't speak to me. You saw me. You were looking dead at me. And sometimes you're like, no, I didn't see you. Because a lot of times I'm, you know, I may be looking, but I may be, you know, daydreaming, or I may be have my mind on something else, or I'm thinking about my next move and what I need to do and what I, you know, need to get done before it's time for me to do what I need to do. So we have to stop assuming that he heard, because he might didn't. But they assumed that he heard. They assumed that he saw. They assumed that what the police officer was saying was correct. And it might not have been correct information, because I'm going to keep on reading, and you're going to find out why. Let me keep reading, okay? A lawsuit brought against the city of Cleveland by Rice's family was settled for $6 million. Okay, that's nothing compared to your baby not being there. Okay, in the aftermath of the shooting, it was revealed that Lohman, in his previous job, listed as a police officer in Cleveland suburb of Independence, Ohio, had been deemed an emotionally unstable recruit and unfit for duty. So therefore, this man, okay, this murderer, because that's what he is, shouldn't have been hired in the first place, for one. But because he was white, and I say so, they didn't even check his record. Let me show you something. Let me just help you out here. Okay? Had been deemed emotionally unstable, recruit, and unfit for duty. Lohman did not disclose this fact on his application. So for lying, he should have been fired, okay, to join the Cleveland police. And the Cleveland police never reviewed his previous personnel file before hiring him. Why not? Why did they look and see his file? Because if he was black, they would have reviewed his file, right? Why is it that we see so many differences when you're black and you're white being hired? Why is that possible? He should have been fired, and he should have went to jail for murder. Because they deemed him. He knew he was unfit. He knew it. So you are a murderer, because if you weren't on the force, you wouldn't have shot this baby, because they already said you was unfit, and you knew that. So you are a murderer, an unfit murderer, okay? And all he was following. The following investigation, Lohman was fired for withholding this information on his application. That's it. No jail time. He should have got jail time for that. And you know why I say that? Because he knew he was not fit for duty. He knew that. But he did. He refused to disclose it. But also, if they had did their job and not given him the job because he's white and I say so and I'm good, and we just want white boys on the force anyway, so we're going to give you the job, we're not even going to look. We don't even care. We're not even going to look, because hopefully nothing will come up and we'll be able to, you know, keep moving forward. We won't be able to use that anyway because that's in the past. We're going to leave the past in the past. But leaving stuff in the past, it affected somebody else's future, right? This is what I'm saying. Do stuff the right way, white America. Do stuff right. Then we don't have mistakes like this. People don't lose their lives because of your stuff, okay? A review by retired FBI agent Kimberly Crawford found that Rice's death was justified and Loman's response was a reasonable one. They always justify. You know what? Let me just say one thing. They always want to justify our deaths, right? I always want to justify it. But have you noticed, family, that every time they don't give us or they deem a shooting, a murder of one of our babies justifiable, that they have a school shooting, a train wreck, a train shooting. They just had a train shooting after they shot Andrew, okay, the one that's in, where was he at? Elizabeth City, okay? They just deemed that it was justifiable, right? You came up, you serving a warrant, and this man is dead. You already knew his address. Where was he going? What was the big rush? Why did you have to kill him? I'm just saying, all the shooting in cars and stuff, why is that justifiable? These people are no threat. They're leaving the scene. They're getting away from you because they know that they're going to die. So they're running to live, and they still die. So my thing is, why is it okay for them to start shooting at people? You're already at his house. He's got to come back. Leave an officer right there. He's coming back. Where is he going? He ain't got no money to go nowhere, probably. He didn't have any. You know where he's working, probably. If he's working a job, you know where he's working, right? So why was it important? But every time they do that and they don't give us due justice, a school shooting, a nightclub shooting, a Walmart shooting, and 8 of them died, okay? At that train shooting, 8 people died, right? It's never just one of them. When they have a shooting, it's never just one, right? You guys have not put 2 and 2 together to understand that it's for a reason. Every time you say, no, we're not going to do anything, one of ours might have died. 2 or 3 of ours might have died, okay? Because you had, I think it was 3 separate shootings, right? There's been more than that, but I'm just saying. But 8 of yours in one shot, in one shooting happened. We got to put that 2 and 2 together, you guys. We got to put 2 and 2 together, okay? But we have to understand. Now we heard the one with Tamir Rice. Okay, we already know it was a Bryant. Okay, officer came up there immediately. I just want to read a little bit of that. Just want to read it. I'm trying to help us understand, and I'm trying to get us to understand that. No, our babies. You're not gonna keep coming up here. You shoot our babies, and want us to believe that it's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay, and that's what we do. They have gotten us so jacked up in our brains. They have gotten us so jacked up that we think, oh, she had a knife. She deserved to die. I heard somebody black say that. And that pisses me off. Stop. Y'all, let me tell you something. If we don't get away from these white folks, if we don't totally separate from these devils, because we think and we sound just like them. We think just like them. We talk just like them. Stop always thinking that because they're your baby, that they deserve to die. They have gotten us so trained and used to that we're numb. So automatically say, well, he had a gun. I guess he needed to die. But don't none of theirs die. Dylan Roof, he's still living. These two thugs, they still living. Okay? The boy that shot up the sex brothel, he's still living. I'm just trying to help you to understand. Stop always thinking that your babies deserve to die because crack is white folks telling you, oh, they dehumanizing yours. And Tamir Rice, they went all through his background. They went through the mama's background. They investigated everybody. They made him, okay, the victim. They made the victim the criminal. But with these white kids, you don't hear nothing about their mama. You hear about the white girl stealing some damn puppies. She sold puppies. Puppies. And she burned the house. They sent her to, let me just tell you about this white girl. Let me just tell you about this little thug. She stole some puppies. They sent her to juvenile to a home to live, okay? She burned house down. So tell me why she wasn't in jail. Why was she in another foster home and not in jail? She burned the house down. So you telling me that it was okay for her to burn the house down and that she's over here in another home instead of being in jail where she deserved to be? Now that deserved to be in jail. And then I heard the officer say, what is going on? Why is it that our children are feeling so comfortable with shooting at us? Because you're allowing them to. Anytime you don't spank a child when they do something wrong, guess what? It grows, right? It festers, right? It gets worse, right? A child, you have a child that they're talking back. The first time they talk back, if you take care of that problem, what happens? They're done. They don't talk back again, right? But if you allow that to continue, what happens? They continue the behavior and it gets worse, worse, and worse, right? This is what happens. They look at kids and look and say, oh, we're getting away with this. Ain't nothing happening. You had another school, this girl was, she was six. No, she was in sixth grade, middle school. She just had, she took a gun to school and tried, she didn't shoot anybody, but she did fire the gun. She just couldn't shoot, okay? But nothing happened to her. The school said, oh, we had a misdemeanor, you know, I think it was like a misdemeanor or something. No. You have to do something. You have to punish these kids. When you don't punish somebody, they feel it's okay. Other kids watching, they say, well, Sarah didn't get in trouble. Little Karen didn't get in trouble. Little Judy didn't get in trouble. Paul tried the same thing. But this white thug, the one, the 14-year-old, she said, we coming to kill some cops. That was her thinking that night. We coming to kill. And the owner of that house that they broke into said they had plenty of weapons. I want you to see about our baby, Micaiah, blaming Micaiah Bryant for her own death, ignores truth. And you know how many black people said that she deserved to die? You remember Micaiah was the one with the gun, the knife, okay? She called police, had a knife in her hand, and was defending herself because two grown-tail women wanted to come to her house for darn dishes or a bed. Don't know which one it was because she either wasn't doing the kitchen or fixing the bed. How do you die for not fixing the bed? How do you die for not doing dishes? How do you die? How is that possible? So she has a knife in her hand. She calls police, trying to get some help until the police get there. He comes there to see her with the knife. Instead of him getting out of his car investigating like they did with these thugs that we're going to read about in a few minutes, instead of him getting out doing his job, which is investigating and not acting like a hoodlum with a gun, a dummy with a gun, or somebody just don't care, or somebody just, well, let's, you know, okay, corral, let's just shoot him up. We got guns, shoot him up. Instead of him doing his job, he got out the car shooting. He got out the car. No taser, automatically shooting. Why? She didn't have a knife. I mean, she didn't have a gun. You could have walked up to her and tased her, and she would have still been alive. Okay? I'm going to read just a little bit of this, okay? Okay, in an unprecedented move, Columbus police showed body cam footage of a 15, 16 girl by a Columbus police officer just hours after the indictment of the Southside shooting, which appeared about 20 minutes before a guilty verdict was announced in the Derek Chauvin's case. I do believe that did have something to do with it. A former Metropolitan Minneapolis police officer who killed George Floyd prompted hundreds to protest. Okay, the shooting at the shooting site in downtown. Micaiah Bryant was helpful and kind, her friends and family said. Okay, Micaiah, what we know about the 16-year-old girl fatally shot by Columbus police. The video shows an officer approaching a driveway with a couple of young people standing there. In the video, it appears that the 16-year-old identified now as Micaiah Bryant, who was moments later, as soon as he, you know, got out the car, it didn't take long, okay, was shot by police, pushes or swings at a person who fell to the ground, okay? let's say, 16-year-old identified now as Makaya Bryant, who was moments later shot by police, pushes or swings at a person who falls to the ground. Okay. Bryant then appears to swing a knife at a girl who is on the hood of a car, and the officer fires his weapon what sounds like four times. Why four times? Why even pull your weapon anyway? Striking Bryant, who died a short time later. It's a tragic day in the city of Columbus. It's a horrible, heartbreaking situation. Okay, transparency, sharing the footage as incomplete. Let me just say one thing also. They always show you the footage of our babies dying. Do you not know that when this white girl, the little 14-year-old that got shot by police, they didn't show her footage? They didn't show her laying on the ground. They didn't show her shot. Okay, when it came to you seeing her, you know, because they did shoot her eventually after so many rounds. I mean, it's like 35 minutes. They was really trying not to shoot this little white girl, okay? But they didn't show it. They never showed you any blood. They never showed you nothing of her. They didn't have her laying on the ground. They didn't show you when they shot her, okay? So that right there, why are you showing our bodies, our babies, okay? You showed Makaya when he shot her, when she laying on the ground, she was bleeding out. You showed that. Camera didn't go nowhere. But on this white girl, no camera. It went blurry. Okay, they had a blur. They blurred it out. You can't even see anything. But my thing is, why? Why the difference? Why the difference? It's time for America to be honest with itself. It's time for us to understand. It's time for us to understand what's really going on here. It is time for us to hold some people accountable. If you're going to show our children, and they put Makaya's name out there, right? These little white kids, they didn't put their name out there for a minute because it was hard for me to find anything about them. It was hard because I looked and they kept saying, you know, the minors, the children. Well, whose children? What's the children's name? But Makaya, it was out there immediately. So what's the difference in you showing a 15-year-old name, Tamaris Wright's name, the black kid's name, but not the white kid? What's the difference? We have to start holding them accountable, you guys. We cannot see stuff like this and not say anything and not get mad about it. We have to stop immediately when something happens, when police officers shoot somebody. We have to stop running our mouths. We come together, and we make them pay. We hold them accountable. He should have been visited at his house. There is no reason for him, for Makaya Bryant to be dead today. If he had got out of his car and ran up there and tased her like he should have done, I'm just saying, I don't even want him to tase her. But if you got to do something instead of you killing her, go ahead and tase her. Because she shouldn't be dead. She had a knife, so what? Delarue had AR-15. These little kids, little thugs, the little 14, she had an AR-47. Okay? Makaya had a knife. And this 14-year-old thug, she was shooting at police officers. Makaya was shooting at police officers. She wasn't even running toward the police officer to stab him. She was really trying to defend herself because one girl was on the ground. She literally got up off the girl. If she wanted to stab somebody, she could stab the girl that was laying on the ground. Come on, if you guys see the whole video, she had just got off one girl that was on the ground. She got her down, then she went for the other one, okay? Who knows? Was she going to stab? Who knows? We can't assume that. I'm not going to sit up here and assume anything. Okay. Now this is really sad. Police received 911 call at 4:35 p.m. about an attempted stabbing at 31 block of Legion Lane, which is located north of. Okay. The caller reported a female was trying to stab them. Then the caller hung up. Okay. Officer responded to the scene. At 4:45 p.m., the officer involved shooting was reported. Okay. Columbus fire medics were cleared to come into the scene at 4:46. Police said the wounded person was transported in critical condition to Mount Carmel East Hospital, where she was pronounced dead at 5:21, which she was shot four times. Why does she need to be shot four times? And why not in the leg? I'm not even saying she should have been shot. I want to read a little bit more, just a little bit more. I was just trying to see. It says, intern Columbus Police Chief Michael Wood said officers are authorized to use deadly force to protect themselves or a third party. He said the investigation still needs to be completed to determine if the actions of the officers were justified. Of course, we all know it's going to be justified, right? He said the officers who was not named has been placed. Now, why is that officer not named? Tell me why. Why was he not named? He's been placed on administrative leave. Okay. I'm so sick and tired of this. And then they say, oh, she could have been my granddaughter. Okay, in any way you look at this, it's a tragedy. It really is. Because that baby shouldn't have been dead. She shouldn't be dead. It makes no sense. But I want to go into the other one, okay? Let me find the other one. Hold on. Hold on. Let me go back over here. There you go. Okay? Now I want to talk about the other two thugs, okay? The little Nicole and Travis. The little cop trying to kill the cop. I'm kind of disappointed there. I'm kind of disappointed a little bit. But my thing is, why are we not holding America accountable, black people? Jackson is her last name, okay? And she was 14. Why are we not holding America accountable? Because they'll come up here and they'll justify their actions and make you feel that it's okay what happened. How are you putting Roberta? The spokesperson was putting the blame on politicians. But if they were black, who would the blame be on, family? It was on Tamir's mama. It was on his daddy. It was on Tamir. It was on, he's 12. It was on everybody but the right people. It was on everybody but Timothy Loman, who shouldn't have been an officer, who wasn't supposed to be on that force in the first place because he was not, he was deemed to be unfit for the job, right? So why was he there? I'm just saying. I'm tired of stupid stuff. It just makes no sense. We just allow anything and everything, family. And we have to get out of that. We have to stop accepting everything that they tell you. You know, and we go along with it. Why? Why do we go along with everything? That's unacceptable. So now they want to blame the media. No, it's not the media's fault. It's parenting. It's the system. It's systematical racism. So you want to ask the question, why? Because when they do stuff, you don't do nothing. How many times did we see I did a story on the guy that with the Walmart, okay, who shot up the Walmart in El Paso. He had a record long as your arm. Everybody, all of these shooters that's coming out, they have records, previous records. I once seen a guy, he burned down a neighbor's house. The same thing, he killed some animals, burned that house. He beat his mama up, beat the grandmama up. He went down the line, okay? Set the house on fire, too. He still wasn't in jail. Went in front of the judge said, oh, he's going to be good. We're going to let him go. What did he do? He went home and killed the whole family, okay? Come on, you guys. We got to hold America accountable. These officers, we got to hold them accountable. You don't get out your car and just shoot them up, bang, bang. No. You don't do that for them white folks? Then why are you doing it for our black babies? And half the time, they don't have weapons. Most of the times when our babies are dying, they don't have guns. They're unarmed. And they're usually for a violation of non-violent crime, a non-violent stop, okay? A crack pill light is nothing to die over, and that's what they're dying over. Or you stopping them because they had a smell good in the mirror. That's what Deontay died over. He had a smell good thing hanging in the middle of his window, okay, mirror. And they stopped him for that, and he's dead today. Make it make sense, family. Okay, Beefy, talk to me. You know, your my statement is, let it bias, really? How? How? You know what? I'm not, you can't come in here and do my lie for me, okay? I got this. You just have a seat and learn something, okay? You just need to learn something. It bothers me when people come on here and try to tell us what we, what's in our faith that is not true. Miss me with it, DC. Miss me with it, honey. Bye. Have a good one. Let's continue on, family. We're not letting white supremacy come in here and tell us nothing. Have a good day. Dylan Roof, is he dead? Okay, I thought so. The guy that shot up the Rosso in Georgia, is he dead? Kyle Rittenhouse, who murdered two people, is he dead? Let's go back to Dylan Roof. He murdered 9 people in the church. Is he dead? BC, talking to you. Have a seat and learn something. I know, guess what? It don't even matter what you say, because you're not going to come here and tell us what we're looking at, what's right in front of our face, and you're going to tell us, oh, that's not blue, that's green. And we're looking at this blue, this red, we're looking at this red object in front of us, and you tell us, oh, that's not red, that's orange, that's green or yellow. No, we're going to call it what it is. We're going to make it make sense here. We're going to make it make sense. When white supremacy comes in our lives, have a seat and learn something. We don't need you to talk here. You're not even, you shouldn't even be here in the first place. Why is it that when we come here and do our lives, we got white folks trying to tell us what we're seeing? Oh, no, you know it. Whatever. Sit down. Have a seat. You want to stay, stay, but be silent. You don't have a right to come over here and tell us anything. Okay? You take that back to your side of town. Okay? Thank you. Anyway, like I was saying, so we were really interrupted. Let's talk about little Miss Nicole Jackson and Travis, okay? Let's talk about these white thugs. They're thugs. And what's happening and why it keeps happening? Because it's almost like they're not doing anything about it, and they know it. So guess what? If you're not going to chastise me, I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing. Right, DC? That's why you can come over here and try to run your mouth. MLK said, what most urgent questions is, what are you doing for others? Okay. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing right now for anybody besides run your mouth? And I didn't give you permission to run nothing. So why are you here? Why are you here? Okay. You're not allowed to speak. I don't even want to hear your mouth. Okay. Let's continue on. So with Nicole Travis and O'Brien, Nicole Jackson and Travis O'Brien, they were foster kids, okay, 14 and 12. Who fired AK-47s at cops, okay, appear in court. I don't want to get the ones that they appear in court. I want you guys to, I want to get the one where she was, toodaloo, BC, have a good one, sir. Okay, you don't come over here telling me nothing. You don't have a right to talk to me. I didn't give you permission to speak. You only speak when spoken to and when you ask to be spoken to. When you ask to speak and I give you permission, then you can talk. Other than that, shut the hell up. You don't come over here telling me nothing. These are the thugs that I'm talking about, okay? Can't nobody tell us nothing. Until you walk in these black shoes and you experience what we experience, you have nothing to say, Mr. Beefy. Have a good day. Okay. That's what we're working with right here. Don't come over here telling me nothing. 12-year-old boy and 14-year-old girl opened fire at Volusia County deputies with guns, including AK-47. Children run away from Florida United Methodist Children's Home, okay? Which she should have been in jail because she had just burned down house, right? Why was she in another foster home? Okay. Teen girl suffers a life-threatening injury, okay, but didn't die, okay? America reimagined, a 14-year-old girl is seriously hurt after she and a 12-year-old boy allegedly armed themselves with stolen guns and opened fire on Florida deputies, as you say it. Now, you opened fire, so what's not true about that? Okay. You come over here talking noise, and you don't interrupt my life. Okay. You don't run nothing over here. Have a good day. Okay. The children identified as Travis O'Brien, 12, and Nicole Jackson, 14, ran away from a group home in Enterprise hours earlier, alleged, broke into an empty house Tuesday night. And you're not going to tell me that girl just all of a sudden picked that house. How did she know those weapons was there, and how did she know where to find those weapons? That girl knew whoever the owner was of that house. Either he was uncle somebody or cousin somebody. That girl knew who that owner of that house was. You're not going to tell me that she didn't. They had over 200 rounds and an AK-47. So that girl, how did she know where to look? Okay, miss me with that. Okay? She had an AK-47, a handgun, and a shotgun, and a large amount of ammunition. Okay? She was at somebody she knew house. They're not going to tell you. But she was at somebody's house. Deputies with the Volusia County Sheriff's Office surrounded and sought to talk the kids into surrendering peacefully, according to a release via the sheriff's office. Did you hear what I just said? Did they say that they came up with guns drawn, running to handle this? Did they say that? No. They said what? They sought to talk the kids into surrendering peacefully. Now, why they couldn't do that with Tamir Wright? Why they couldn't do that with Makai Bright? I'm just asking for a friend. Let's make it make sense. Let's hold America accountable. Let's hold America accountable. Let's stop allowing them to blame the new politicians. What are you blaming the politicians for? It's about parenting. Let's blame their moms. Where are the moms and the dads? Because Tamir Rice, what did they do? They put his mom on trial, didn't they? Okay? Where are these kids' moms? I don't hear them mentioned. Let's see if maybe they'll mention. Let's see if they mentioned in here. Okay? But the children started shooting, allegedly, with the homeowner's guns. The sheriff's office said, okay, the children fired from multiple angles, and the girl allegedly threatened to kill a sergeant, but she still lived. Now, did they handle it? When she said, I'm going to kill a sergeant, did they rush in? No, they didn't, did they? Okay, let's see how long did it take. Hold on, you guys. Lord, I got a call. Hold on. I'm sorry. Okay, let's see. The 14-year-old girl then came out of the garage and allegedly pointed the shotgun at deputies twice. How was she able to, how many times was Tamir Rice able to point his gun, his play gun? How many times? When he was drawn, they said, they shot him, right? Okay, let's go back to this. They said what? The girl came out of the garage and allegedly pointed the shotgun at deputies twice. Twice. Tamir couldn't even get the gun out, nothing. Even if he had it in the little holster, you know, little cowboy holster, all he had to do was put his hand on it. I don't even think he was able to draw it out without him dying. This girl was able to point a weapon, a shotgun, at deputies twice. She was shot and wounded by a deputy official said. They were coming out to kill cops. That's what she said. But where do you learn to use this weaponry? I don't know how to use an AK-47 and unload it. This is what a reporter is saying, and reload it or use a pump shotgun. Where does she think? What do you think? They start teaching their children at 2 how to shoot, don't they? I've been to the range, and I see these little 4 and 5-year-old kids. I'm like, what in the world? They have them there 6 and 7 years old at the gun range, okay? They have them 4 and 5 in the backyard. Because I think it's a certain age for gun range, okay? The boy who was in the garage armed, with his hand on a gun, armed. Was he shot? But he had a gun in his hand, a real one, okay? Armed with an AK-47, surrendered, the sheriff said. But he still had the gun in his hand. So he should have died. Tamara had a play gun in his hand and died. So why was he able to surrender and live? 14-year-old girl suffered life-threatening injuries. She underwent surgery and was reported to be in stable condition. According to the early Wednesday morning statement, the boy was not seriously hurt and no deputies were hurt. The boy wasn't even hurt. But Tamir Rice, who had a gun, a play gun, is dead, right? All right. Why? Do we even bother to ask questions why? Why are we holding these officers? Why are we holding America? Why are we holding people accountable? Why are we so quiet when stuff like this happens? We should have been blowing this up. This should have been on. Did anybody see this on the news? I didn't see this on the news. I just happened to hear about it. Did anybody hear it on the news? I didn't. Why was this not headline? Why? Deputies did everything they could tonight to de-escalate. Did I hear de-escalate? Hold on. Whoa. Back up. Deputies did everything they could tonight to de-escalate, and they almost lost their lives. I didn't hear that with Tamir Rice, did you? I didn't hear anything about the de-escalation of Tamir, right? I didn't hear about the de-escalation of Micaiah Bryant. Did anybody hear the de-escalation? I didn't even see the word de-escalate. They almost lost their lives because they didn't want to shoot the little white kid. But Tamir Rice, I didn't hear Tim say, I almost lost my life. That boy pointed their gun at me, and I was trying to de-escalate, and I was talking him down. I didn't see any of that. Deputies did everything they could tonight to de-escalate, and they almost lost their lives. They took rounds, multiple rounds. How many rounds did Tamir Rice, how many times did Tamir Rice shoot his play gun? Oh, okay. Was Micaiah running toward the officer to stab him? No, right? Okay. They took rounds, multiple rounds, before they left with no other choice but to return fire. But how many times did this girl have to shoot at them before they return? What, two or three shots? Deputies had nowhere to hide but trees, he added. The motive isn't known. The deputies are temporary on paid administrative leave. Charges against the children. I keep hearing children. I'm thinking thugs myself. I'm thinking demons. That's what I'm saying. I don't call these children. These are not children. Okay? These are not children. Okay. Charges against these thugs are pending, officials said. Why are they pending? Prosecutors were preparing to charge the juvenile, okay? They called Tamir a boy, right? African-American boy. They didn't call him a child, did they? He's the same age as this white boy. Wording is everything, family. Wording is everything. Prosecutors are preparing to charge the juvenile with attempted murder on law enforcement and armed robbery. Hopefully they're charging them as adults, right? We don't know. Now listen to this. A report via told the homeowner who declined to reveal their identity, having monetarily left his home with his family to the store when the two foster children broke into the man's home and engaged in a gun battle with the sheriff's department. You're not going to tell me that this little girl, somebody knew these people. You're not going to tell me that they didn't know where to go to get the guns. How do you just go in somebody's house and know where to find a gun and some bullets? How do you know that if you don't know these people? Because some people, if they have children, they hide that stuff, right? So how would 14-year-old and 12-year-old know where to go get it? Okay, I'm asking for a friend. I'm just saying. Okay. Now, United Methodist Children's Home, excuse me, where the children live, called the incident tragic and said it is the result of the system failing our children. Really? Oh, when white kids do something, it's the system. But when black kids do something, it's the parents. They go and go all the way back. I don't see nothing in this thing to where they did an investigation on their background. I don't hear the mama's name in here. I don't hear the daddy's criminal record. I don't hear the mama's criminal record. I don't hear nothing about either one of these children's parents. I don't hear nothing about their past. I don't, but some damn puppies, okay? You don't even know why the 12-year-old there, because they didn't even go in his past, okay? But Tamir Rice, when they put him on trial, they had his mama's past up there. They had Tamir's wife's past up there. Micaiah, they had everything about her on there, and her mama, daddy, cousin, uncles, and aunts, okay? But when it comes to the white kid, we can't give off no information. You didn't give owners of the home. You didn't give her mama's name. You almost didn't want to see a picture. because it was hard. Like I said, it was hard for me to find any information. These children are desperate, in desperate need of care in the appropriate setting. In the appropriate, ain't that? Oh, okay, let me read it again. I'm gonna calm down. These children, if they were black, what are some of the names they would have called our black babies? Thugs. Ain't that what Obama called them? Thugs. Obama called them thugs. Terrorists. Okay, they probably want to call them some other stuff too, but you can't say it on national TV, right? Okay. They said what? These children are in desperate need of care in the appropriate setting, which is a higher level of care than we provide. Both kids are in the home emergency shelter care program, which is currently serving three children. We have recently made changes to our emergency shelter care program and have been working with our partners, including the Sheriff's Community Partnership for Children, CPS, the Department of Child Welfare, to address the state of children welfare in our community. And the gaps in the system that results in the lack of adequate and or appropriate placement of children who should at times be in the care of a Department of Juvenile Justice. And that's what a little white girl should have been. She should have been in somebody's juvenile justice system for burning down that house. She burned down a house before she went to the house that she was at. She burned that down. Then they sent her to this Methodist, whatever, okay? Instead of sending her to a juvenile facility, they sent her to another foster care program, okay? This is why these white kids do stuff, because they know they're going to get away with it. Because the laws is not for their children, it's for our children, okay? As a result of this event, we will be placing a moratorium on our campus emergency shelter care program for the next 30 days, and then we'll cease to provide that service until such time that we feel that we can do so in a safe manner of the children coming into the case. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? They blaming the system. Just say it. Just say it. I ain't hear the parents. Do anybody here? I'm looking for the parents' name. I don't see the parents' name in here. I don't see her past records in here. I don't see his past records in here. I don't see nothing else in here. End of story. End of story. I don't see nothing else in here. But I'm going to show their picture again. These are your thugs. Okay. That's Travis O'Brien and Nicole Jackson. But you want to shoot and kill ours. But they get to shoot at police and live. Tamir Rice didn't have a gun. He had a toy. Even if it was a gun, did he deserve to die? Makaya didn't have a gun. She had a knife. But she was protecting, defending herself. Defending herself against two grown women that wanted to come there and beat up on her. I'm just saying. Did she deserve to die? No. We have to stop allowing people to tell us what to think, especially when they don't look like you. We have to stop. And even people that look like you, like Candace Owens, who said, yes, Makaya needed to die, deserved to die. But we expect that from her. That woman has treasonous behavior. I don't care what nobody says. She is a hater of her black self. She want to be white so bad. She hates black people, and they got this woman speak for black folk. Candace can't speak for me. I seen something that really shocked me, that upset me today. You got black folk, the black caucus. Karen. She's one of the leaders. And she's talking about police reform. But you don't want to get rid of qualified immunity. George Floyd, that little weak bill. You wouldn't even pass that. But you did a rally for the Chinese. Your Black caucus, your Black leaders rallying for Chinese. But you can't even do what you're supposed to do for Black folk. Now this right here, something needs to be done about this injustice. We Black folk need to be so loud right now that they do something. Because that's the only time they do anything is when we're loud and when they think we're going to tear this country apart. We need to rise nationwide. Because this right here, it's unacceptable, this treatment, this behavior, that their kids are allowed to do whatever. You're right. Let's see. You're right. You're right. You're right. I look at Grandmaster Jay. I look at the trial. I look at all of this. I'm looking at the Proud Boys who climbed a Capitol wall. I'm looking at white folk who climbed a Capitol wall. They still out of jail, right? They still were able to carry their weapons, right? They didn't bring felony charges up against them, did they? But they did. They climbed up the wall. They broke into the Capitol building. They pooped and pissed everywhere. And some got charges, but some didn't. Then you found out the Proud Boys leader was an agent. But you didn't say nothing about that, did we? We were so busy talking about Grandmaster Jay, NFAC being an agent. But they still got charges up against him. They wanted to shut that brother down. That's why they won't drop all them charges. They want to keep him quiet as long as they can, and they're going to try to get him some jail time. You're right, they will. But you know what? All Black folk ain't going to go. Because we have been so used to being treated like nothing. Let's see. A lot of Black folk won't go. A lot of Black folk will stay here. And some I hear saying, I'm not going to run. This is what people are telling me. I'm not running. They'll say, I built this country. I'm like, if you built this country, you can build Africa. Because the conclusion of this matter is to get out. And that's what I keep telling people. But you got Black folk, they won't want to go. Why not visit? Why not visit? Why would you say no to an opportunity when Africa is the now? Go there, get some peace. Go there and start a new family, generational blessing for your family there. Africa is the now. And we won't even go to visit. Because I hear people say, well, you know, Africans don't like you. How do you know? Do you know any? No, but what? Who told you that? White supremacy? Because that's who told you that. Exactly. You're right. That's why we got so many Black folk that look like us, and a lot of them are calling themselves our leaders, but they're doing white folk bidding. They're doing white supremacy work for them. They're leading Black folk right on down the wrong path and got them folks voting for what? Asians don't vote, but they get everything. Hey, let me just show you one thing. Asians don't vote, but they got a bill passed. They got $50 million plus, okay? Pacific Islanders don't vote, but they got $30 billion. I'm just saying. Immigrants don't vote, but they got what? Millions of dollars. Millions. Their children just got millions. Those little demons, illegal aliens that came across the border that shouldn't have, and their parents were in jail, those children got millions. The family members that's here, the illegal aliens that's here now, their family members are getting $15,000 per person, and they don't vote. But Black folk who run, got their booties to the poll, got what? Nothing? Oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense to me. You run to the polls, you vote for people that do nothing for you. Then they make excuses why it's okay not to do anything for you. Yes, let's see. You're right. But black folk won't go. You know what I heard? Well, the Chinese are there. I said, are you there? If you're there, who cares who else is there? If you're there doing what you're supposed to be doing and you getting your share and you coming up with your own businesses, and next week we're going to talk about some businesses that can be opened up in China. I'm in China, Lord Jesus. I'm talking about China. That can be opened up in Africa, and it's only going to take a few dollars. I'm just saying. And they shouldn't have to, and they shouldn't have to leave. You have to go visit. We talk about the Chinese being there, but I asked you, black folk, are you there? If you were there, it wouldn't be no room for no Chinese to be there. We support each other. Once we get this right, and guess what? They said, well, you got Africans that don't like you. I said, you have black folk here in America that don't like you, but you're still here. You won't leave. So don't tell me. I don't want to hear about who don't like you. I don't care. Go over and do what you got to do. Get yours. Get your land. Get you a house built. Get your businesses. I just seen somebody with a bread breakfast in King Alex. I just seen apartments that they have to buy. You want to buy a house? You can't buy one here? You can buy one there. What are you waiting for? You can rent a 6 or 7 bedroom house for $300, $350. What are you waiting for? I'm just saying. We talk about other cultures. We talk the conclusion of this matter. When I do my live, it's all about what is the conclusion. What are we going to do about it? What do we need to do about it? We need to get out. Why are we staying in a place that hates you? Why are we staying in a place that shows you every day that we will never be fair to you? We will always hate you. They will have a perpetual hatred for us. I did a show last week about that. Go to my YouTube channel. They will have a perpetual hatred for you. Why? Because they can. You know, I see, it makes me so mad when I see black folks in these restaurants, and the one lady put the woman out. And she said, because I can. You deserve to be put out. Stop going into their stores. We have different pop-up shops with different black businesses, okay? Smoothie Queen, she has a closet. She does pop-up shops. Plus, she has smoothies. She's got 3 different businesses. I'm telling you, this girl is a hustler. She's making it happen. We got black folk with businesses that's trying to get it off the ground, but we have to support each other. We have to support our business. We have to support each other. We can't no longer. Why are you giving your money to people that don't like you? Why are you giving your money to people that when you go to these places, they put you out for no reason and then laugh and brag about it? I can. That's why I put her out. That's what the lady said, because I can. You wouldn't put me out but one time, honey. But you ain't going to put me out because I shop black. Any chance I can, I shop black. And that's what we have to do, support your own. Integration was the absolute worst thing that we could have ever done. And I'm going to tell you what, we were doing very well before we came together with them. In 1920, we was doing Black Wall Street, all of these black businesses, all this black areas, black schools, black businesses, black buses, black shops. We had all of it, black. And we gave up all of that to integrate with our enemies. And when we came back together with them, it went downhill from there. Our children and their education systems, you already know that we need our own educational system. Why won't we get it? You can get a school in Africa for $500. And those schools in Africa, from my understanding, they need to be, that system, whole system needs to be done. We need to teach our children our black history. We need to teach our children our black history. They need to know what black folk went through in America, like these riots, Black Wall Street, Durham, yes, okay, Winston-Salem, New York riot, Rosewood, Greenville, the Red Summer. They need to know about, African children need to know about all of this stuff that we went through here so they'll understand how dangerous these white folks are. So therefore, they won't be sitting up looking up to them anymore, wanting to marry these demons and devils, because that's what they are. That's what they need to do. We start investing. Put your information out there. We have to support our own, and we have to invest. We have to invest. We have to invest, you guys. If you want to make it in Africa, I'm going to tell you, one business, why not buy some sheep and goats? Why not buy, why not? Where your picture at, Les? How you doing? Welcome, welcome, welcome. How are you? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Are you on mute? Hey, how are you?
I can hear.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Absolutely. I'm looking at your comments, and you're right.
I'm fine.
I'm looking at your comments, and I think you're right.
I was confined, and I was like, I'm from Kenya. I don't know whether you remember me, but yeah, I'm from Kenya.
Okay.
So, yeah, my comments, and you know, they're very reserved and always the same. There are so many opportunities here. People tend to believe again what they're told there, but yet those who are telling them that are already here making money. And you know, you talk about the Chinese, you talk about the Russians, you talk about the Turkish, you know, they are all here making money.
Right.
But talk about the black folk. Look at the rich black folk.
Yep.
I mean, do they have any properties in Africa? Do they have any properties in Africa?
Right.
Because they don't even look at Africa in a way that is productive in any single, yet the entire continent is fighting for Africa.
Right.
Like, that is where the money is.
Right.
You know.
Right. I do believe that.
France is a follower.
I believe that. I have a girlfriend there, and that's what she, you know, she's from there. And African Tigers, her and I, you know, we talk all the time, her and I are really good friends.
Yeah, I know her. She's my friend also. Like, I tell you, I get shocked every time. And at least now I'm a bit proud, because when I go to YouTube, I see black folk coming in,
yes,
and showing off, you know, the beaches, the, you know, the places, the opportunities are there.
Right.
It's a welcoming move. But when you have a majority of them still having that
mindset,
really dark ages mindset, that, you know, Africa is just but a big bush, you know, and they consider Africa as one country, which again is another biggest mistake people make. And so, and when you, okay, so two classes, you have a black class and a white class. A white kid knows more about Africa than a black kid.
And that's, but guess what? You know why? But you know why? But you know why? Because guess who's educating your children? We have to educate our own children. I am totally against the system that they have. Even in America, white folk teach our children. That shouldn't be. We teach our children our history. We have no business. Who cares about their history? We have to teach our own children. If we don't teach our children our history, this is why you have what's going on now in Africa and in America. We don't like being black because we allow them to teach our children. No, you teach your own children your history. You teach them the American, African-American history there. What the hell we went through here with them cutting babies out of our stomach, with them butt-breaking, raping our children, raping our men, raping us. I mean, you have to understand, slavery was the worst thing we could have ever gone through. Okay, he'll be back. Hopefully he'll be back. But I want him to understand, slavery was the worst thing we could have gone through, and I hope and pray that Africa changes their educational system, or we come there and open up some schools so that we can start teaching Africans the hell that we went through here by white folks, so that therefore they'll understand the dangers of people that you want to be friends with, people that you want to marry, people that you look up to. They're devils. We have to help them to understand that. We have to help them to understand that. I'm gonna add him to the screen again. Come on back, brother.
Yeah. I dropped for a minute. So for me, I tend to believe that when it comes to that, it's also part of, okay, why don't we have, say, those black schools or even private schools that cater only for, you know, you go for history lesson.
Yeah.
Let them teach us, they teach on the other side, but we have our own where we encourage on every Sunday, on every Saturday, you have to go, even if it's a 1 hour class, just go learn something about Africa. You know,
right.
Be it the rivers, be it the culture, anything that you can learn every single Saturday, every single Sunday, 1 hour, just 1 hour lesson for every kid.
Right.
You know, and that opens up and have, okay, they do have these, you know, trips, you know, when you're in school, when you're young, you know, they take you to Disney or these other places. You know, why don't you, we have like these one, like you say, okay, fine, my, when I have a kid, by the time my kid is 12 years old, I have one African trip with that kid.
Mm-hmm.
This is what
right.
I see with the white folks here. They come with their small kid,
yeah.
And they tell them, okay, this is this, look at this. And when that kid grows up, they see opportunities in Africa that,
yeah.
You know, black folks are just, you know, you see Lamborghinis, you see Versace's, you see Gucci's there, and you're stuck with that. You know, that is what defines you as a person.
Right.
Instead of you saying, okay, I'm an African, and so what are my obligations to my motherland?
Yeah.
You cannot leave. America is not for the blacks, whether we like it or not. That is why racism is there.
Right.
They don't like you. They don't want you there.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And when you come, for those who have come here to Africa, and for those I've interacted with, they do not want to leave.
Right.
They're like, okay, so how best citizenship here? What can I get into in terms of business, and how do I navigate? Don't be fooled that it's going to be easy.
Right.
No one is saying that, you know, it's going to be, you know, in. You're going to meet some challenges along the way.
Right.
But what is your main goal? What is your main goal?
Right.
You know, you have.
But nothing as bad as America. Nothing is as bad as America. You know that.
I mean, ask yourself, what is the most crime-ridden country in the world?
America.
Or Africa.
America.
Or Africa. Africa is nowhere near that.
Right.
They portray this Africa as, you know, constant wars and wars and wars. But they don't tell you that if you look at the statistics, Africa is way down there. It's way down
right.
there. You have these just sporadic issues here and there. But on a major scale, you know, it's like when you look at America and you look at Africa, you ask yourself, what is going on? Africa has a billion plus people.
Right.
America only has like 360 to 400. But look at the crime level. You know, you can't even compare the two. Africa is the richest continent, but they don't tell you that in books.
Of course not. Why would they tell you that? We know that.
There you go.
Africa is the now. Africa is the now, and people don't understand that. You guys have everything there. That is the land of the milk and honey. That they talked about it, that's the land. It's there. And people are afraid to go to visit. I tell people, I'm coming in August. And hopefully I'll get to meet you and some other people. But I'm coming to, so I have land. I bought land there, and I'm going to buy more. But my thing is, we have to start doing something for self. We cannot no longer sit here and blame white folks for our stuff. We have to take some blame for us. We're not coming. We're not visiting. We're not investing. We're not doing anything to change our situation. Until we change our situation, nothing is going to change. And I tell people, let's go visit. We have to go visit. You have to have money to buy land. Why not? What are you waiting for? You're dying here. And people say, oh, you can't get away from white supremacy. But guess what? I can go and get some peace. I don't have to worry about the police shooting my baby's brains out, Roberto. I don't have to worry about that. I'm just saying. You say, oh, you can't escape white supremacy. Guess what? I can go and get some peace of mind. I can go and take my son so that he can be safe so he don't have to die. That's what I'm looking for right now. I'm not looking for, I'm not trying to come there and make friends with Chinese. I don't care about Chinese. I'm coming there to heal. And Africa is the healing place. And people don't understand that. Yes, I have a Western mindset right now, but I'm not bringing that with me. I'm going to leave it right here. I'm going to get on the plane. Everything's bright and new. And I'm coming there for something new. I don't want to sit up here and keep going through the same stuff. I can stay in America if I'm going to bring it with me to Africa. I tell people, if you're going to Africa, you need to leave this white supremacy, the mindset here, because we can't go there and have the same mindset that we have now. It's time for a change, black folks. It's time for a change, family. And it's up to us if we're going to make a difference, if we're going to be free here, it's up to us. So So what do you want?
And I love that. So I keep on saying that people need to actually, people need to step on the ground for them to even make that decision.
Right.
Right. So you cannot make that decision if you never. I met one just when I was just walking. I just met this guy. He was actually Black American, and I didn't know this because, you know, you blend in, you're Black, so no one thinks until you talk.
Right.
Right? So he comes up to me and says, okay, I want to go eat, but like randomly, you know, I want to eat, I don't know, a place with them. Like, okay, you are not from here, you know. let me show you. So he gets to a corner, he eats and starts talking.
Yeah.
And guess what he tells me? Like, he was there for like 2 days. He just came like after 2 days. And he was like, I've never been happy in my life that I'm here.
That's
and I asked him why. I mean, you come from America, you know. And he tells me that he has never walked at night and feel like no one will ever see him and ask him a question.
Right.
He's been walking like 10, 12, 1 at night and no one is stopping him and asking him, you know, you look suspicious, you know, why, you know.
Right.
He's so free. He actually bought a house where he was like, you know, he goes and looks at the billboards. It's only Blacks he's seeing and he's like, wait, we only see white people on the other side. Why is it that you have Black billboard so big, of the, like, and you only have Black people? I'm like, what do you expect? It's what we are used to.
Right.
You know, in fact, if you see a white person, we get shocked. Like, why is a white person on that billboard? You know?
Right, right.
You know, when you come here, you have that peace of mind. And they don't really, until you actually experience it, you just take it for granted. Like, you know, it's a lot of people around, like, peace of mind.
Uh-huh.
But until you actually are here on the ground, you go to the beaches, you know, they are so clean, they are so untainted, they are so white.
Yeah.
You know, and you ask yourself, why is this not shown on the TV? You know, the other day, Naomi Campbell, you know, showed her house in the entire world.
Okay.
She trended. She's an ambassador. She's a Kenyan ambassador.
Okay.
Like, she owns a house. And she was coming here. No one told her to come. No one told her to buy the house. She's been coming here, like, for 10 years. Every single year.
Wow.
You know,
awesome.
Every single year in December, she spent her holiday in Kenya. She has never missed for the past, I think, 10 years.
Wow.
And she made Kenya her second home. She does not even consider UK to be her home because, you know, it's a white man's land. It's not yours.
No.
Whether you like it or not.
Right.
Look at this way. I invite you to stay at my house, and I tell you can stay for as long as you want. You get comfortable in it, but at the end of the day, it's not your house.
Right. Right.
You know, you can only be comfortable in your own house. And
right.
People, the Blacks need to understand. Get the knowledge,
right.
Get everything you need from there.
Right.
Come, bring it and apply it here. Whatever works.
Right.
You know, you have the financing there, get the project here.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question.
You have the project here, you have the market there, take it there. Easily move to Africa.
Let me ask you a question. As far as mining, okay, you talked about mining. What kind of mining do you do? Can you hear me?
So here we do have, there's a lot. Yeah, I can hear you. So we have, there's gold mines in some parts of Kenya. There's gemstones. Like they're drilling oil right now. And look at all these people that are investing in. I'm not seeing a Black-owned, investment. Pouring in. All you're seeing is these white folk companies. Why is it? And they're getting huge billions of dollars. Right now, we are having like projects pending. Like, I'm thinking, okay, fine. You can easily go to these white people and they'll give you money, actually. They won't even ask you to give you money. Okay, let's fund it. Because they're seeing the potential. When you look at yourself and look at the Black person, you'll be like, okay, I feel like you can leverage the credits that you have there. You can leverage whatever it is that you can have there, and you can start this project. But there's suspicion between the two of you.
You have to understand why. But you have to understand where that comes from. That's called Willie Lynch, white supremacy. They trained us to be very suspicious of each other. Therefore, they want us to look to them for everything, so we don't look to each other. So that's the divide and conquer. So you have to understand that's what's going on.
Mm.
That's what that's. This is how they taught us to look at each other. So when you see all the fighting against black people, against one another, that's why. It's called white supremacy. It's called Willie Lynch. They taught us how to look at each other very suspiciously, not to ever trust each other, but to trust them. We've gone through that for 400 years. So how do you get out of that? You have to be ready to get out of it. You have to be free. You have to be free here. You have to want to be free. It's time to want to be free, family. It's time to do something different. So you're not coming there to be suspicious of your brother. You're coming there to grow and to possibly get into some investments or something. Go ahead.
And that is what I'm saying. So for me, that is what I'm saying. For those who they really want to come, you know, say have a forum of blacks and Africans. Okay, fine. I want to invest in oil. So which country produces oil? Okay, let's ship you to this country and have contacts in that country that can connect you and contract with oil. I want to invest in real estate. So which country is good at real estate? Okay, let's send you to this country. You know, we give you this contact and you do that. And you see, while you are doing that, all these, you know, within like 5 years, you do not have Africa as, and I don't like that as Africa as well. Because, again, I need people to understand the meaning of rich. So they will only define rich if it favors them. That is what people need to understand. Because they'll never say Africa is a rich continent because it doesn't favor them. So they say it's a poor continent.
Right.
You know, people are dying of hunger. For you to take away that it's actually a rich continent.
Right.
Because if you look at the definition, even somebody who has done basic business, you'll understand that even if you have capital, you can convert it into cash and you still have the money.
Right.
But the problem is that they come in, they steal. They don't buy it from you. They steal. They create chaos and they take it as a cheaper
That's money. What they know right? to do.
And so when you have that stability.
That's what they're known to do.
And when you have that stability.
Uh-huh.
And that is where the black folk come in, you know, with the mindset that we know what these guys usually do on that side. We have the financial capability to at least have a certain project and take it further,
uh-huh.
right?
Uh-huh.
And when we do that as a community and move forward, I mean, you have the money, I have the project. What is stopping you and me in both ways?
Right.
And replicating that over and over, and suddenly you do not have people being shot on the street.
Right.
You know, just randomly because you were walking and, you know, a white cop decided you are dangerous to him. And so he decides to shoot.
Right.
You know,
right.
You don't hear that here. People walk, people see the cops and they're like, how is this even possible? You know?
Yeah.
The mindset they come from, you know, we fear the cops, you know. Here, it's more of, you know, you are free. The cage has been opened for you. There are so many possibilities you can get into. I've seen people like, real people like, you know, and the white. You know, a couple of friends, they're white. So they come in, and this is how they come in. So they come in with a missionary passport and all that, and they come in and they settle for like 10, 20 years.
Mm.
And if you settle for 10 years, you are eligible for the citizenship.
Really?
And so you apply for the citizenship.
Okay.
And so that is the game they play. So citizenship takes you 7 years.
Okay.
So you come in as a missionary, say, I'm coming in for 10 years. The project will last for 10 years. So what do you do after 7 years? Because it requires you to be here for continuous 7 years for you to apply for the citizenship.
Okay.
And so that is all you need. Stay in Kenya for 7 years. That is all, continuously. And then you apply for two, which is automatic, just delegate.
Well, how do you do that if I'm coming from out of state? I thought you had to leave every 90 days, every 3 months. I thought you had to leave every 3 months.
So you cannot gain citizenship by doing that because that means you're coming in as a tourist visa.
Okay.
So there are classes in which you can come in. You can come in as class G, which is an investor, and requires you to have like 10,000. It's 10 million. So 10 million is like 10,000 or 100,000 therein. In your account,
uh-huh.
which will be deposited in a Kenyan account,
uh-huh.
And you can have what is called. So you come in with a project. Say, I want to start this project. You come in. They help you. Actually, the entire there's a platform that enables you to deposit the money in that account, which is your account.
Uh-huh.
They help you open an account, which is your account, and then you start the project and you're given your visa and you start operating. So it can be 10 years, it can be 15 years, because it's your business.
Okay.
And so you can renew after every, they usually give it for, stamp it for 2 years, and then they renew it for every 2 years, 2 years, 2 years.
Oh, so
as long as you're in the country.
Okay. As long as I have the money to stay, and I say I'm doing a project, I can stay. Oh, that's
exactly
how they're doing it.
So there's another class. So there's another class that is, I think, Class K. So in Class K, what they do is if you're retired on the other side, and you can prove that you have an income that can sustain you from out of the country, you can come in, provided that you will not engage in any economic activity within the country.
Okay.
So you are just, I'm a retired, I just want to stay and live in Kenya. I do not need to work. I just need to relax.
Okay.
You know?
So people can,
so
come,
can
in.
Come
okay.
in.
So I can use my retirement to come and to, okay. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So as long as you can prove that you can, you can, there's money that can come in every single month on to benefit you, which is your own money, you can come in with that class and you can stay in Kenya. And mind you, if you do that, eventually after 7 years, you apply for the citizenship. And so the trick is to be in Kenya for continuous 7 years.
7 years. Okay. Wow.
Exactly. And
why does it take so long? Why does it take so long in order to get a citizenship?
If you make it easier for anyone, I mean, the rights will be here. You know, the Russians will be here.
Yeah.
So they're making it so that how do I put it? It's only the serious people who really want it.
Yeah.
Do come for it. You know, you don't make it easier for anyone to just walk in and say, I want to be a Kenyan. And that invites a problem, because when you become a Kenyan, you get an automatic right. You know, you don't become a second citizen because you came from America. You get the full right.
Okay.
You know.
Wow.
And so if you do that with people like the Chinese, you know, you suddenly fall into a trap where by the tomorrow they, you know, that citizenship after they've taken everything they need from you.
Yeah.
And so it's a guarding measure that whoever really wants it has 7 years to prove that they want it.
Wow. Okay. So
it
I'm
really,
seeing
really
a couple of ways that you can actually get it. And I want to talk more. We'll talk more about that, the different ways of maybe getting citizenship. But I think, like you said, I think right now we visit. We visit the different countries just or continents just to see which one fits us better. Okay.
Yeah. So for Kenya, it's 90 days. It's 90 days. For guys who are coming from Bahamas, it's visa-free, because even Kenyans do go to Bahamas visa-free. I think all the Caribbean islands, it's visa-free for them.
Okay.
So it's a complimentary kind of arrangement that they have for Kenyans. So for, if I want to go to Bahamas today, I can just wake up, get a plane ticket, and just go to Bahamas.
Oh,
If a Jamaican wants to come to Kenya, you just wake up the next day. You have like 3 months, so that is 90 days of, you know, no one asking you anything.
Okay.
You know, you're in Kenya for 30 days continuous. And so it's different ways of getting in. But first, like you said, that income, look at how each country has to offer and feel what fits you best.
Yeah.
So if you feel like Kenya is good for you, Kenya has the IT, then you'll be like, okay, Kenya is it for me. If you have a mining, probably the country that has more mining would go to Tanzania.
Okay.
You know, and you keep on doing that. Like, you identify what, I've seen couples in, like you said, in Rwanda opening bread and breakfast. You know, I've seen people in Tanzania opening businesses. So it's not impossible. It's not. It's actually very, opening businesses in Kenya is it's easy. You know, you have like 2, 3 days, 4 days, you've opened your company.
Yeah.
But the trick is, if you're coming from outside again, you can't just open a company. What you can do is open a company in the U.S., partner with the local company. That is how you get it.
Oh, okay. So if I do it here first and then partner with, okay, I understand.
Mm.
But
so
I,
that is how you come in.
Okay. Huh.
So it's actually law that You can't have a company that can say, I'm coming and I'm setting up in Kenya as my own. So that law was to ensure that the people even that are employed there, you uplift the company that's already down there.
Okay.
So you have to partner with a local company just to bring it up.
Okay.
You know? And okay. So that even if you exit, they have that expertise,
mm-hmm.
they have that mindset that they can
uh-huh.
actually pick up from there.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, you're giving us some great ideas, you guys. You're giving us some great ideas of how to move.
I mean, that is how the whites do it. They actually come in as missionaries. Most of them come in as missionaries. And you see them here for like, I know one person that came in as a missionary. And they looked to purchase a house, not to rent, not to lease, to purchase. And the reason for that was their thinking was, we don't want to live outside Kenya. We want to live in Kenya. And the only way we can do that is by having that long-term stay and eventually get the citizenship.
Yeah.
That is why you find the retired white folks, a lot of them moving to Kenya. And the reason that actually during pandemic, you think that people are not moving, but people have been moving all over the place. Like, we are coming in.
Wow.
So they experience a lot of whites coming in. Yeah, a lot of them coming in.
Oh.
And they'll be like, you know, I'm going to Kenya. Like, I think right now the most visible ones are the ones that the Canadians that are moving to Kenya, like during the pandemic.
Uh-huh.
And they can tell you they're looking to stay in Kenya for it's their home base.
Oh, wow.
So what they did, they came in with a company. They're working in a professional, whatever it is that they use to get in with.
Uh-huh.
But they came in with a company. And so that contract gives them, say, 5 years or 4 years.
Oh.
So they're staying in Kenya for 4 years.
Uh-huh.
But the trick is to eventually make Kenya their home base.
Yes.
And so what do? You renew the contract for the next,
for the, yep.
another 4 years.
Yep.
And then you suddenly hit.
I like that. You know, hooking up with another company. That's very interesting what you said. And a lot of people don't understand that that's a way of getting in. You know, they don't understand. They don't even know where to start, you know. So that's a good start. Yeah. Wow, very
that
awesome.
Is
the
problem.
Very good.
The misinformation between the other side and this side is interesting. And so again, people think here and there. They think, okay, you can come in and just own property. You can come in and just pick and whatever it is and start a business. They need to understand their processes here.
Uh-huh.
Their processes. So when you want to come in, there's access to be paid. You know. For you to even live here, you must have a residency visa. That requires you to have at least gone through any of those classes and say you want to become in as an investor, you are a retiree. There are so many classes you can come in. There are like 10 classes. You choose one. Mining is one of them. So you get that. Mining is one of them. So coming in as a miner.
How do we get that mining? Where do we go to get that mining certificate? Where do we go to get that?
So then if you're a miner, you have to, like, have done your research. So like you said, you can come in as a tourist, identify a place, go back, and then have that lawyer-to-lawyer interaction. They prepare papers for you. So the mining, you're coming as a mining investor. So you have to be specific on where you want to mine.
Yeah, okay.
So we've discovered, these deposits on this side that we'd like to mine. They will ask you for the documentation that you need, and so you produce. And so if they have the minimum requirement of financial requirements and you think you can meet, so you continue.
Okay.
You continue there. So it's across every single requirement.
Okay.
Right? So the easiest one was, I think it's K, which required you just entirely, you can just prove that you are getting money from outside and it's coming to the Kenyan bank, and so that is all you need, and you provide that you have retired and all that, and you apply for that. But the caveat to that is that you cannot engage in any economic activity. You're just coming here to just live and enjoy your life, you know. It doesn't require anything else other than that. Then you go through the processes. You have your alien ID, you have your KRA pin, and you're good to go. You have your residency and you're good to go. So once you have the three documents, there's nothing stopping you from moving around in whatever place you need to be. You know, so people need to understand why they are coming and what awaits them. Because there's that danger of saying, I'm selling everything and I'm going to Africa. You've not done your research.
Right.
You don't know what the country requires.
Right.
And then when you get there, you quickly realize, wait, there are processes to be followed for me to even become a citizen.
Right.
You know?
Right, right.
You don't just become a citizen overnight, yeah? So there are ways you can get in and do that which you require.
Wow, awesome.
And the best way is find something that you can do in Kenya. Come as an investor. There's that minimum requirement, you know, that is needed. And, you know, Kenya is Kenya, so money speaks. So if you have money, you will get your documentation just like that.
Okay. You guys hear that? Documentation, money talks, money talks. That's everywhere in the world.
Money talks. So if you need your documentation within 24 hours, within 48 hours, as long as you're willing to, you know, you have people who can act on your behalf, you know, as a broker. And this is where, again, the black girl. Anywhere in the world, if you are a foreigner, people will try to take advantage. Because you don't know the process.
Yes.
But this is where the difference comes in. The whites in Kenya cannot be like, how do I put it? They are more aware of the Kenyan society than if you came in. So they will not be taken at, you know, you find a white person bargaining.
Okay.
Saying no.
Yeah.
I'm not paying for this.
Okay.
I know it's around this much.
Yeah.
And so the price will go down to what he says.
Because they've done their homework. That's why you have to do your homework. And you said it. So this is what we need to do, family, to do our homework in order to understand where it is we want to start. Some people want to go to Tanzania. Some people are going to go to Kenya. You know, we have to understand. And like you said, if it's a business, if it's, you know, a business that we want to start, then we'll have to, I mean, this is why we got to visit, in order to understand where do we go to hook up with that business that we can connect to, and we can run it here and we can run it there for now. You know, just until we get our feet in the door.
Exactly. That is exactly what I'm saying. Like, I don't understand why people are, like, you can have a business in Kenya and stay in America until it gets to a point where you're like, you know what, I quit.
I quit.
I just, the business there is making enough money. You know, I'm opening new, you know, stores everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, things are still, why am I still here? You know, a place where I feel, you know, I'm in danger, you know. Simply apply for the, you know, investors, get in. Get your 10 year, they give you a 2 year and then you keep on renewing it after every 2 years. And it costs you, I think, $2,000 every 2 years.
Okay.
So and if you have a business that, you know, is giving you that much money, it's not a big deal.
Right. $2,000
is like after 2 years, every 2 years, and then you just do that 4 times and you already apply for the citizenship and you're done with pay.
Yep. Especially if you understand how mining, because I'm like, I think a lot of times mining is something that if you could consider getting into. I think that will do very well by some, and it could take a group economics to do it. You know, they may say, hey, you know, we have to come up with so much to do the mining, but we have to do our research to understand how do we get into it. But if we come together as a group and somebody do the research and we pretty much go move forward from that, why not? I mean, that's one way of getting into Kenya, and people are making money mining. I know that. We've talked about it.
And that is the right mindset when you come in and look at this. So guys who come here, I mean, come from here and go to the U.S., they do not have the mindset of staying in the U.S.
Right.
What they do is, this is a place where we make money and we go back home.
And go back
home. Eventually what they do, yeah, exactly. When they're there, they send money back. That is why you hear Kenya is receiving the highest FDI in Africa, because people realize, you know, you do not want to live in America, but you want to make money.
Yeah.
So I'm making money, I'm taking it back. I'm creating my investments here in Africa.
If
I feel like the income is sustainable for me to live a comfortable life, I quit my job in the U.S. Why am I still there?
What
is so special about that place? You know, I can walk into a store and get shot the next day.
Pretty much.
By any person who, you know.
The same day.
Crazy person who decides you know, I just do not like this black person.
Right.
I just start and you're dead.
Right.
And so
pretty much.
I feel like the blacks should start really rethinking on how to get into Africa, like really soul searching and asking themselves, do I want to wake up every single day and work in a country whereby I'm at risk of being shot at any given time?
Right.
You know, by anyone.
Right.
Be it the cops, be it an insane person that decides, you know, I hate blacks, you know, the extremist. You are it's like so many arrows are pointing at you, and you have to dodge each and every one every single day.
Every day. Every day. Every day.
How do you even survive? That changes you.
We walk in survival. It's all about, we're in survival mode. We're not living. We're in survival mode. Period.
Then come home and leave. Come
exactly.
home and leave.
Yep. Exactly.
People think we still live in some sort of dungeon somewhere. You know, you come here, you find properties that probably will shock you when you move in. You're like, wait, I pay this much money, and maybe in New York will have been three people paying for the same, you know. And, it's, if it's fully fitted, it's fully fitted. You have them. If you want the high end, we have up to $1.4 million houses. We have $2 million houses, and they are fully bought by Africans. People keep saying, oh, that wealth is not owned by Africans. If all of you come and I take you to one gated community and I just want you walk in and ask each and every door, look at who's staying there.
Uh-huh.
Maybe only black people living there. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So this mindset that, oh, the wealth is held by the whites, that mindset is, it should just get out of their head.
Now, see, that may be true for America, but it's not true because, like I keep telling people, Africa is the now, and you have so many manufacturing opportunities and it's an opportunity just to have your own business that, like I said, we have to visit and then we have to go from there. But we can't just sit around and die. We can't just sit here and be mistreated. And we know it's bad. We know the atmosphere is bad. We know this America's people. So why do we stay? Why do we stay? If we can build America, we can build Africa. If we built America, like we say we have, why not build America, Africa? That's the next step.
And let me ask you something. So you've already seen how America is. So what is so wrong in seeing what Africa can offer?
Exactly. Totally. I totally agree.
What is the worst that can happen if you just visit?
Exactly. Questions? Does anybody I'm trying to talk to. Does anybody have questions that you want to ask Mr. Lipsy? Anybody have any questions? I'm trying to see the chat.
Mr. Lipsy.
Anybody have any
Africa
questions?
And invest. Because I feel like, you know, there is opportunity. I feel that disconnect, but I feel like the moment we link, the
mm-hmm.
moment you say, okay, fine, how much do we need to? Because here, I'll tell you for a fact, right now I'm sitting on projects.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, even if I'm sitting on projects, I have to get investors. And true to the word, if it's projects people are looking for, projects are so many here.
Uh-huh.
You just say, okay, I want to look for a project that is on mining. Look for a project that is on, say, agriculture,
uh-huh.
which by the way is like really huge here. Like, if you want to build it, get into agriculture, manufacturing, processing, and then, you know, you have it. If we, in real estate, projects will never cease to be.
Right.
It's only that the linkages, so you come in from the U.S. with the financials, and the person that is on the African continent comes in with a project. No one is saying handle.
Right.
No one is saying handle.
Right.
It's mutual, it's mutual benefit.
Uh-huh.
You bring the money, I bring the project. You assess the viability. Okay, fine. Okay, I feel like we can get into this. So how do we move? Because you know the market well than I do.
Mm-hmm.
So be like, okay, you handle, so you like to handle finances, you handle finances, let me handle the market.
Yeah.
You know? And so even you feel safe when you're handling the finances and the other person is handling the market, and whereby you can actually now, it's, again, like I said, it's a win-win formula. Like,
yeah.
You bring the money, they bring the project.
Right.
And so when you do that, and, you know, when you go out there and say, okay, fine, let's have a black investment firm, you know, in
right.
the U.S. that, you know, searches for projects in Africa and implements them, you know, and how having that mindset and having that black investment firm, equity firm in the U.S. and saying, okay, we are amassing all this money in the aim of having people on the ground who bring projects that are well, you know, presented in a way that we can assess and see these will make us this money and we can employ these people. And so you alleviate poverty, you get wealth at the same time. And so it's a win-win formula across the board.
Yeah.
You know, and that is how I need people to start thinking, like, you know, it's not like people are sitting in and saying, oh, Cassandra, you're coming in, please help me with $100. No, I'm like, you're coming in. So I have a project worth $100, we can make $300. What do you say about that? You'd be like, okay, let's do this. You're going back to the U.S. with, you came in with $100, you're going in $200 or $300 in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't just that an amazing win-win situation?
Yeah, win-win, yeah.
And where's the harm? And where's the harm in that? You're
right.
Making more money.
Right. And this is where the trust come in, and this is where we have to see that, you know, you do a contract, you show us what you're working with, you know, but, you know, it's all about doing it the right way. It's all about us. Like I said, the first thing first is to visit, plain and simple. You have to come there to visit. You have to know what projects, different projects there are. You know, I've been listening to Go Black to Africa. And he said someone bought a dump truck. If you have a dump truck, you can rent your dump truck out for mining. Or he showed some other kind of equipment that he said, if you had one of these, you'd make money. You get to lease it out. And I would mind doing that, buying one of the dump trucks and leasing it out to the miners. You know, so it's just different ways of and we can even do a group economics thing. You know, it's just ways. And sometimes you can't do it by yourself, family. We have to have some help. We have to come together with like-minded people and make things happen. We can't do it. You know, this is the thing with America. We come here, we try to be me all the time. No, what about us? What about us coming to the table, coming up with a project and say, hey, why don't we come and try this right here to see how it's going to do? And somebody is probably already doing it, so why not hook up with that person to say, okay, show us how. Show us how to do this. We want to do this. Show us how. We. It's not like we're coming in knowing what to do. So we'll pay for your expertise. And that's what people don't understand. Sometimes you have to pay for that person's expertise. We don't know what to do. I don't know who to ask for. I don't know what to do. But I would love to get into that mining. But I am going to look it up and understand. So when I get there, I'm going to know what to do and who. I'm going to know who to talk to. Where do I go to start? And that would be an amazing event. I would even like to get like a goat farm. You know, meat. You need meat. Agriculture. You can get you some land, and you can rent a part of your land out to different people and build a store on that land. And everything that you grow on that land, you can sell right there in your own store. See, it's different things that you can do, but we have to get there and do it.
And that's right. You know, I keep telling people there's one market that is missing. We have like Kenya when it comes to hospitality is way up there, but there's one thing that people are missing. Like now you're coming in from America. So, you know, there are foods that you miss, American type of food. You know, it's natural. You've been raised with it, so you
uh-huh.
So who's catering for that market?
Exactly.
A market that no one has even
exactly.
So these are the ideas
exactly.
That. You know, and all that you need to make that food there,
exactly.
They are readily available here.
Yep.
So it's only that no one has that, because people are catering to the local market,
right?
So no one, we are catering for the Japanese, the Chinese,
uh-huh.
But we're not catering for the blacks who are
right.
coming in. Whatever it means, you like.
Right.
So we do, like I said, even if we do the white.
Right.
So we don't know what
right.
blacks.
Right.
In America.
We have to bring our own culture. Yeah. And what's wrong with that?
Exactly.
If I know certain foods that I like to eat, as long as it's not a whole lot, because I don't eat pork. And you have to understand your atmosphere. And a lot of Africans are Muslim, so they don't eat pork. So you have to go in and create. You can do, hey, I know people like fried chicken. I'm just saying, you know, black people in America, we like fried chicken. I don't know if you guys have that day or not. But why not do some of our soul food, healthy soul food cuisines? I'm just saying, it's things that we can bring to the table, and you'll still make money. Or I can open up an African restaurant and I can hire me an African lady that can cook it for me. And I can start a business that way. It's so many things that but we're going to have to learn how to work together. And this is what we have to teach people. This is what it's time for us to learn. How do black people work together and come together and be successful together without all the animosity, without all the confusion in the midst of it? We have to learn how to trust each other. And that's where we're at right now.
I've seen a couple of black people wanting to make inroads in Kenya, and they started making inroads, you know, and they quickly realized there's money to be made. And so taking that first step, as you said, coming in, identifying what you want to do,
right,
and going back and saying, okay, I have to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So what do I need? I need a work permit.
Mm-hmm.
So if I need a work permit, how do I get that work permit?
Right.
For me to get to Kenya and start that economic activity.
Right.
So first of all, you know, you need to apply for it, which is the quick way. It's not once you have the lawyer who, again, this is another thing. I need to actually tell this to whoever is listening. So when you come to Kenya, and I'll speak specifically because I'm from here. And so when you come to Kenya, you have to have reliable lawyers. Because remember, these people, also the lawyers, you know, that's some shady lawyers, and you need to know that.
Yeah.
So you are thinking he's a lawyer, you think he's that price and all that and all that. So you get one bad experience and you're like, I'm done.
Right.
And so there are good lawyers that will cater for your process. They will tell you their fees and everything, and they will cater for your process up to the end. And then they give you your invoice, and then, you know, you'll be like, okay, I've gotten my documentation. I know I can move in. And so you're done with them. And they normally, a good lawyer, will, you know, always give you step by step on what you need to do, and their fee will be the last thing you're doing. And so whoever wants to start that process, you know, because the only way you can actually start to make money in Kenya is by getting a work permit. There's no way around it. There's no circling around it.
Okay.
If you want to start a business, you must. It's a big must have a work permit. And so how do you get that work permit? Then that becomes the question.
Okay.
So then you go to the classes that I've told you. You look at the classes and see class A to G to K. Okay, this is the class that I'm comfortable with. So let me apply it under that class, you know.
Wow.
And once you apply it under that class, the lawyer, you know, they know people inside there. So they make your process move easily.
Okay.
So they'll ask you, they usually call it a facilitation fee.
Okay.
That is like, you know, wash my hands, I wash your hands.
Right, that's okay. We understand that.
Yeah, you know. But you do get your legitimate papers
right
at the end of the day.
And that's everywhere you go, you're going to have that, the courtesy fee. You're going to have that. And who's to say that I could not create a place for other African-Americans to come if I have that lawyer and I have the people in place to be able to help others that's coming there? That's a business right there for somebody. I'm just saying, it's so many businesses that you could create in Africa. I don't understand. Like you said, we need to get there in order to understand what the need is, because we know what we're dealing with. We know about white supremacy. Why not, you know, get us to say, okay, nope, that's not a good person to work with. That's not a good person to work with, because we, you know, we know that spirit. But you, on the other hand, don't know the spirit like we know the spirit. So guess what? I will be able to recognize that spirit more so than you will, and I'll be like, that's not a good person. Look at how, you know, look at how he do, da-da-da, look what he said, da-da-da. But we have to understand this is why we come together and we create businesses. You have to see a need and create a business out of that need. But I'm not going to be on here. I only want to stay on like an hour and a half, and I've been 2 hours. But I appreciate you. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. And I would love to contact you to be able to maybe understand, because like I said, I'm coming in August, and I'd like to come to Kenya, and I'd like to hook up with some people, with like-minded people that are trying to do some things. I don't, you know, it's a lot of people, you know, it's not, you don't know, I don't know anybody there, but I'm just saying, me and African Tiger, she pretty much, that's probably pretty much who's going to lead me around to see where I'm going, because she's from there.
She's been chatting a lot. I don't
know
if she's back.
Oh, she's still out. I think she's still in the Gambia, or just left the Gambia or something, but yeah.
Gambia, yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, she's telling me, oh, I'm not back yet. You know, She's a good one. She's my friend. So yeah, there's no problem with that. We can plan something. You know, people can come and actually see that
right. They
are legitimate businesses.
Right.
They are legitimate processes.
Right.
If it's a lawyer one, the lawyer will be there. They will explain every single detail that you
need.
And you know, and actually, that is part of the business that should be among it the things that people need to understand. Okay,
uh-huh.
I'm coming to visit, but also would like to have a meeting or two.
Right.
In that, the next time I come, you know, I have these people in place
right.
that can handle these situations.
Right. Right.
And so
right. The
lawyers are there. Whoever needs the lawyers, they are there. They'll be provided for.
Right.
You can have a meeting with the lawyers in knowing how you want to come in. They can advise
you
know better than I can because I'm not a lawyer. But I know, you know, from specific things, I know. But they can advise internally, like completely and tell you, this is the best way to get in.
Okay.
This is the fastest way to get it. You know, it can be what you need. You need this documentation. I know a person who can facilitate.
Mm-hmm.
And I can talk to him directly and be like, okay, just make it as cheap as possible. Give it to me as fast as possible. You have your documentation.
Right.
And so it becomes easier for you to transition into the country.
Right.
And
right.
you have that smooth. Where I'm living right now, you can't believe it. The number plates that are down there are from UN, like a lot of white. And you ask yourself, like, if America is such a paradise, why don't you want to be this place?
Right, right.
You know, once they discover this, you know, people, like, the mindset, you need to step in the ground for you to see how your mindset changes.
Right.
You will never, I guarantee you, all the guys who come from that place, when they do step here, they will have a totally different mindset.
Right.
You know, oh, there are no roads, oh, they're living in poverty. The moment you step into the airport, the moment, I don't know where you guys are going to stay, in which Airbnb, whether it's in Nairobi or it's in Mombasa, I don't know. But the moment you step into that, out of that aeroplane and start moving around, you quickly realize that, wait, we have fresh air, we have internet, the first, better internet than the US, mind you. You have better reliable electricity 24/7. So people will tell you they don't have electricity, they don't have it, but you have all these things that people think you don't have because they don't want you to know.
Right, right. And that's what a lot of it is. A lot of it is just trying to cover up stuff, and they don't want you there anyway. They don't want us there anyway, so they don't tell us a lot of the secrets, a lot of what the good about Africa. So they'll say, oh, you know, and tell us all the lies about the babies and the flies and all this other stuff in this still jungle and all this crazy stuff. But I keep telling people, like I'm going to say, keep saying we have to visit, and we do plan on visiting. Then that way I will take it from there once I come there and I have to see what's what. And then, I'll do my show from there, of course, because I want other people that it's legit. You know, other people have to see it, you know.
Exactly. The other people have to see it legitimately.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to even gain that confidence, and I
right.
can guarantee you that
right.
you'll have a smooth ride.
Right.
You will be happy when you're going back. You'll be like, I can't wait.
And I would like to grow a team. I would like to grow a team of people that I could use. So when other African Americans want to come, I'll say, hey, this person helped me to do this, that, and the other, and this person can help you. And that'll also be a help for that person to make some money. You know what I'm saying? And it's not always about money, but it's about trusting the person that you're working with. And
that's
once you
awesome.
Do it for me, then guess what? I'll tell the next person, hey, I got somebody that I've done this with. And then that opens the door for you to have more clientele, to make you a little money also. You know, so that could be a great way of you possibly making a living, you know, by having the other African Americans that's coming from America, that's coming to Kenya. Okay, here, this is what we need. Where do we go? What do we do? And that could be a service that you offer, you know. So I'm giving you some ideas also to think about
I usually prefer. Look, I'm doing pro bono one time. Come, let me just be nice and, you know, show you around and do all that, you know. And you yourself decide. Okay, fine. I trust this guy now. Can you come and sit down before I leave? We do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I'm coming back, I need. Step one and two
right.
have been completed.
Right.
And these are my timelines.
Right.
And so you have that constant communication,
right.
Right. you know, between each other. And then you're coming in on October, right?
August.
August.
August. Uh-huh. August.
So then what you need to do is, again, keep constant communication. Mm-hmm. And I will guarantee you that when you're coming, you're going back, you know, no one's asking you for money. No one is asking. All I'm saying is that you will see what you need to see.
Mm-hmm.
You will have what is called the opportunity to decide what you want to get into.
Right.
And seen and then
and that's
whatever
what,
project you
and that's what I will be coming from. I will want to come to see what exactly, you know, opportunities are there and go from there. Because right now I can say what I want, but once I step foot on the ground, I know that the doors will open and I'll understand and see more opportunities, possibly something that I couldn't see from here that I'll see a need. And I tell anybody, you create a need out of a service for a need, you got it. All you have to do is see a need and create a service out of it, and you're well on your way. You're well on your way.
Yeah, I'm telling you, if anyone, you have anyone who loves cooking, if you can start a restaurant here, an American restaurant here, makes insane amount of money.
Isaac, you guys hear that? If you come there and you have an idea for a restaurant, because I even said I want like a winery. I want to put a place where we could do a meet and greet on the beach, and we can come there, African-Americans to African-Americans to Africans, and we come and meet, and we drink a little wine. You have a little, you know, a little snack or whatever, but we get to know each other. And what's wrong with that? I think that right there is building bridges. It's going to heal, do a little healing for both of us. And that is one of my dreams that I wanted, that I would like to get into, even, you know, somewhere. I don't know if it's Kenya or, but I have to put my feet on the ground to see where's the best spot for it. But that's one of my ideas. Yep. And I'm just saying, it's all about group economics, because I wouldn't want to come there and do it by myself. So it's about group economics. You bring money to the table. I bring money to the table. A couple of us bring money to the table. And who knows? If we have like-minded people, business adventures galore. Money, I mean, I keep telling people Africa is the now. We have to get there and understand so that we can see the need and we can go from there. But with that said, I want to give you a couple of last words, and then we're going to go for the day because I don't like to make my life too long. So what?
Okay. So my punchline and my words of wisdom to all the black folks, come visit. Don't do anything, just come visit. You know, go to Masai Mara, go to Amboseli, go to Diani Beach, go to Atamu. See the beauty that you can see, right? While you're at it, spot the differences, spot the need. You know, create that market for that need. And, you know, when you're coming back again for the second round, you'll be like, okay, fine, I saw this need. So how do I start to achieve this need, okay? So how do I get into it? So the second round you're coming in, you're creating that connection. Or if you already have that connection, it becomes easier. Because the moment you're coming in with your papers.
Uh-huh.
And so you're just starting to set up the institutions that you need. And so the mindset that people have, it needs to disappear because it's a
right.
whole different thing over here.
Right.
And my last words will be like, have that, you know, mentality that everything can be made into a profit. Anything can be made into a profit. People sell invisible things. How do you even justify somebody waking up and telling you this stick is worth $1 million that people bid for it and they sell it? Yeah. And so it's confidence. You know, we allow people to define what we want, what is valuable to us.
Right.
As black folks, you know. If they tell you gold is worth this much,
right.
They tell you TV is worth this much, they
right.
tell you a car is worth this much.
Right.
But at what point do Africans say, okay, fine, this is worth this much, and this is what I'm willing to sell. This
right.
is the standard.
Right.
You know. And so with that, I can't wait, but I just hope that you guys will come and will enjoy your stay.
Absolutely.
You know, whoever needs any assistance, we'll go back to you. My contacts, I don't know how you will have them. I think you even have my contacts if I'm not wrong. But I will either way.
I will put my email in the comments. I will put my email in the comments after the live, and then we can stay in contact. You know, we'll start that way, and then we'll go from there.
Yes.
But I'll put my email in there,
no.
And then we can go
no
from
problem.
There. But I do appreciate you so much for even coming on. I do appreciate you, my brother, for coming on and just, you know, words of wisdom, because some people don't know. And like I said, a lot of black people are afraid to move. But once they see active people on the grounds in Africa and Kenya and Tanzania and all these other places, that kind of makes them feel a little bit better about the move makes them feel a little bit better about coming. So I do appreciate you for your time and you coming on to talk to the audience, because some people just don't know and they don't know where to turn and they're just like, oh my God, you know. But you got to get rid of the nerve. If you're dying here, why not go? What do you have to lose? That's what I tell people. What do we have to lose by coming to visit? A visit don't take but $500. I'm just saying, to get your plane ticket, get your Airbnb for stay a week, come on, let's see what Africa has to offer. Excuse me, and we go from there. That's all we can do. You can't ask for anything more, but at least take the time out to save your life. And this, I always try to have the end to the story here is to go to Africa and to visit just to see. Don't talk negative about it until you put your feet on the ground. Then you go from there. But other than that, if you've never visited, there, you have nothing to say. So you can't say, well, Africans don't like black people. How do you know? You've never met any. You've never gone there. This young man here, we met him. He's nice. So we have to get our feet on the ground, family. But with that said, I do appreciate you. Let's see. And we are going to see. But I'm going to end this live. But I tell everybody, I want you guys to come on back next Tuesday. I'm here every Tuesday. I was just off a day because I was visiting, you know, I was on vacation. So I'm on every Tuesday at 11:30, and that's my off day. And I hope you come back to see us again. I'm just calling you Let's See for now. And I want you to come back, and we're going to have some great topics coming up. And anytime you want to come on and jump on, come on in and jump on. That's how we get to know each other. You come on the live, and talk, and we kick it. And you have a great day and the rest of your day. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for joining.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Okay.
You too.
Yeah. Family, okay, we had a young man that was on. I want you guys to heed his word, okay? We have to go. We have to see what it's all about, okay? We're not going to sit here and talk trash about Africa because we don't know. We can't sit up there and say, oh, black people don't like this and the other. How do you know? We have to go and visit, okay? And that is the conclusion of this matter, the conclusion of all of this. We've talked about the things. We've talked about the little thugs. We've talked about, you know, them killing us. But now it's no more excuses. It's not, we're not going to sit up here and say what we can and can't do. It's all about us and what's the next step. Are we going to sit here and continue allowing them to murder us? Or are we going to make some changes? Are we going to, do some things that we need to do in order to make life better for us? So your life is in your hands. It's up to you. No more excuses. No more saying, hey, white folks doing this and the other. No. What are you doing for yourself? What are you doing that's going to change your outcome? What are you going to do in order to live and to be free? It's not up to them. They have nothing to do with our lives. It's up to us to be free. You have to first change this, and you have to step into the deep, and you have to move forward. You can't take somebody else's word for it because nobody knows what God has for you but you. You know what he told you to do. And it's time to do it. And Isis, thank you for coming. I do appreciate you. I wasn't trying to ignore you. I did see it, but I didn't want to interrupt the young man. But we are going to contact. We are going to, you know, when we go to Africa, I'm going to hook up. I'm going to see. I'm going to take a little camera, and we're going to see what he offered. We're going to see, because I'd like to get into that mining. I would love to get into that. I just don't know a lot about it. So hopefully when I get there, I'll meet somebody that's doing it, and they can give me more information on it. And who knows? Maybe we can do some mining. I don't know. But with that said, family, I want you to think about some things we've talked about. I want you to renew this. Yes, it's racism. So what? It's racism all over the world. But we are going to Africa for freedom. We're going for a renewing of the mind. We're going for healing. And we are going for some peace. That's all I can say right now. That's why I'm going. I'm not going to take white supremacy with me. I'm not going to take the same raggedy mindset with me. I am going for new beginnings. I'm going to get on somebody's beach to sit there and enjoy the rest of my days. And with that said, I hope you're with me. We're going to keep talking. I may talk about a little bit of racism, but I want to put some things in your face. But also, we're going to come up with some plans and the conclusions to the matters of what we need to do to be free. With that said, shalom, peace and blessings, family, and take care. And Blog Talk. I didn't forget you. Thank you so much for you tuning in, Blog Talk. I really appreciate you tuning in. I really do appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
I'm a young black man, doing all that I can to stay. Oh, but when I look around and I see what's being done in my time,